from God. Turn with me then, please, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The first epistle, please, of John. And chapter 4. First epistle of John. And chapter 4. Commencing to read at verse 7. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us, hath towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. The perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torments. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. In the past few years, it has become very, very evident to me in my ministry, both in this country and also back home and in Europe, that we need to reconsider a word that is widely used and widely abused. We need to redefine and find again the true perspective to the word love. And if God permit us on these Tuesday nights, we intend then to go into it in some depth. First of all, defining love. Secondly, finding what is the believer's true stand in love. Taking on love in and down through our relationships and through marriage. And all the time, aligning it very carefully with scripture, chapter, and verse. We read in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In the beginning was God. No debate. No questioning the subject. It's a fact. And similarly, in this case here, we find not only once, but I find in fact two, if not three times in this fourth chapter that God is love. He is the source of love. He is the fountainhead of love. As you are aware, a true and proper fountain is such that has a spring of water under the ground which is under pressure. There is so much of it. And somehow it finds a way to the surface and it continues to pour out under some pressure. Now, I've been here long enough to travel around the island here, Russell Island, to see one or two little garden ponds. They've got a little fountain trickling down, but that's an imitation fountain, isn't it? They're cheating on you. Because what's happened is, underneath the water, they've got a little pump that you can't see. What in actual fact that he's doing is circulating the water time and time and time and time again. God's love isn't like that. God's love is pure and continuous and is ever fresh and ongoing. God's love. God's love. Paul's benediction in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11 goes like this, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Hebrews would tell us of righteousness and peace. Psalm 85 verse 10 would tell us, mercy and truth are together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That little embrace and that little peck on the cheek or something perhaps a little bit more is often associated with love as the world would understand it. But the beauty of love is that in it and from it and flowing out of it is its second nature, which is peace. Can you ever think of a situation where love has been shown in which there is no peace? It is impossible, isn't it, to show love without also showing peace. And out of God has not only come peace, but of course beforehand there was not only love, but there was righteousness. And this is the wonder of our great God and Father, isn't it? That he who is so holy, he who is so righteous, he who so hates sin and unrighteousness, can still yet love the sinner, but not his sin. Can reach out in peace and in mercy and in grace to the ungodly, and desire to draw them unto himself. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11 says, continue to greet one another with an holy kiss. So it transmits down to ourselves, doesn't it? Had a very serious brother in my assembly. He's gone off to glory now. And he determined that a holy kiss was something that didn't last any more than 2 seconds. After that, then it was doubtful as to the true nature of a holy kiss, so be warned. We will have our stopwatches ready. A holy kiss. A seal of the love bond that there is because of the fountain of love that issues forth from Almighty God. John 15, verse 9, the Gospel of John, that is, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue in my love. Can we understand anything at all of that love bond that there is between God and His Son, Jesus Christ? We ought to be able to explore something of it, surely. In that bond which has come down to us. So I have loved you. It's the same love, isn't it? Doesn't this just blow your mind to think about it? Consider that this great love with which God loved His Son is indeed the same love which He has loved you and I? That love was indeed there before creation, wasn't it? In the foreknowledge and the omnipotence of all holy God. Love has not waned one iota. That love is as fresh then and is now and will be when we see Him and greet Him in glory. The scope of God's love, Ephesians 3 verse 19, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We have been touched by His love. But because of the confines of our tiny little minds, how impossible it is to fully understand and appreciate. It passes knowledge. The carnal knowledge of man is so empty and vain considered against and in comparison to the great ocean of love that knows no height, that knows no depth, that knows no breadth. That has been poured out towards such simple people as you and I. God's love is an all-encompassing love. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's one thing to have a love which passes all knowledge, but it's how far will that love spread? According to this verse, it will spread right round this earth of ours. It will spread throughout the universe. Wherever a soul is to be found, the desire is that the love of God be shown unto that soul. Dear brethren and sisters tonight, that love that is resident in us is needed to be shown out, is needed to show forth, is needed to flow forth out of our life. As a demonstration of God's love. We are the earthly channels, aided by the angels, enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to categorize and characterize the love of God here upon earth. The fullness of God's love, Romans chapter 8 verse 32, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. The fullness of God's love was emptied there on Calvary's cross. We cannot grasp it, can we? But we stand in awe of it, don't we? For God's holy love to be emptied out to us in that public spectacle and demonstration there on Calvary's cross. The total sum of God's love on display before evil and wickedness. You know, we could even half understand it if God says, well, you know, you go to some cave and you go real deep down in the ground where nobody can see you apart from just my chosen few, I'll show you what my love is like. No, to the days of evil, wicked men that rejected and degraded Christ to the lowest thing on His earth, that was a public demonstration of God's love. Toward man. The eternal nature of God's love is found in Ephesians 3 verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mastery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Again, the eternal nature of God's plan of love, hidden away there even before the building blocks of the foundation of creation. There's a couple of places I like to be on a starry night. One is across the water here at Curran, and the other is on the beach on the north side of Manawar Key. Yet another one is up at Guanaki. When there's a full moon and when there's a half moon, there's no street lights, no light pollution, as we call it. And you can lie on your back and you can gaze into God's heavens and be lost in the power and the wonder and the splendor of his creatorial power. And I say to myself, Mark, boy, you see that lot there? Just think that God's love is just like it is. It's vast. It's beyond our understanding. It's so big. It's so enormous. We get lost in it, don't we? It's so profound. And it was from everlasting. And it will go on through into everlasting, of which there is no beginning, and of which there will be no end. God's love is free to all, says 1 John 4 verse 10. We read it, didn't we? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Through Christ, we have the means whereby we can avail ourselves of such love. But it wasn't up to us, was it, thank God? It wasn't until we motivated ourselves that we could receive this love, was it? It was yet while we were in our sin, while we were vile in the sight of God, while we were trying to make our own efforts to climb some sort of a ladder and acclaim God's favor. How useless and how futile. It was while we were in that situation. It was while our best righteousnesses were as filthy rags. It was ever before we were dreamed of by our parents. It was then. It was then that God showed forth his love towards you. How opposite, isn't it, dear friends, to the world's love? You have to, as it were, earn somebody's love, don't you? Parents, sadly, often try and buy their children's love. But it can't be bought, can it? Love is that which has to be freely given. And the supreme example of that is indeed this that we have before us tonight, and that is God's love. The fact that God is love. The fact that Christ is the earthly manifestation of this love, for there would be no way other than through Christ would we ever have known something of the wonder of God's love towards us. Spiritual love. Holy love. Christ's relationship with God is love. John 15 verse 10, I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide or I continue in his love. He paused to think of what it must have meant to Christ on that cross for you and me. To have wrung out from the very depth of his heart, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you turned your love away from me, O God? The answer's there in verse 3 of Psalm 22, isn't it? Because God is holy. And our great Lord Jesus Christ had been made sin. And in his body did he bear our sin and the punishment for sin. And that was the first time and the only time ever that our Lord Jesus Christ felt unloved by his Heavenly Father. For eternity past, ever, was his blessed desire to do the Father's will. Here upon earth we see every step, every movement, every breath, every action, every word, every deed, every step towards the cross was according to his Father's will. How many times do we read, it was not his time, for his time was not yet come. No man tried to organize the time of the Lord down here. Even today, sad to say, we as Christians, we try and organize the time of the workings of the Holy Spirit, don't we? 6:30 on a Sunday night, saving hours, huh? No, indeed not. God's love is not limited to time. God's love isn't limited to eternity. You see it here in the beautiful relationship of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. What must it have meant then, dear friends? What must it have meant, my brothers and sisters? Christ had been orphaned at that moment of time. Be outside the love of God. To be the subject of God's wrath and God's anger for you and for me. That was love of the deepest, of the greatest. God's love is sovereign, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. That was written then. It's affected today though too, isn't it? Who is seeking God's love this evening? Here tonight we have poured out our hearts for the youth of this island. For the adults of this island who are still outside the love of Christ. How far, dear friends, will our love go in demonstrating that love to the youth and to the adults that are still outside, still unconscious, spiritually unconscious of the hand of God seeking to touch them in love? The greatness of God's love is found in Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins. We thought on that, and time is ripping past, so I'll move on to God's unfailing love, as we find in Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, she can, says the writer. They may forget, but God will not forget thee. It's a sad thing to see somebody backslide from the love of Christ, isn't it? But God will not forget. His love is so far reaching. His love is expended at such a cost for their salvation. Yes, we do hear horrifying stories down here upon earth that yes, women can reject their children and do reject their children. But a child of God rejected? For it is not possible. The love of our great God. God's love is inescapable. Romans chapter 8 verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, and any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was a scripture that I used at a funeral of a young lady of 21 who committed suicide about 3 years ago. the imbalance of her mind. Praise God, he would not separate her from the love of God which he had pledged in better times. The inseparable nature of God's love to her. Once we are his, we are ever his. All the lie that the devil has put about, even in these islands, that we can be saved today and lost tomorrow. A son of God can never be crossed out. Praise God. God's love constrains. Hosea chapter 11 verse 4. I drew them with bands of love. You know, us gentlemen, well, used to be the gentlemen, it's the ladies as well, sorry, understand these days, when it comes to wooing a life's partner, there's all sorts of ways in which we seek to constrain them with our actions, our demonstrations, our bands of love, isn't it? But what bands of love were those of our God that he used to draw us? They were none other than Christ, were they? And they drew us right through into his very heart, his very soul. God's love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Dear friends, I wonder if he's still drawing us tonight. The work is never done by Christ our Saviour in our lives, is it? But that deeper appreciation of Christ's love is ever there for us, should we desire it. And pray God that is our prayer. That he can demonstrate, that he can show to us the everlasting nature with which he would draw us even closer day by day until ultimately we arrive in his presence. Moving on from God's love, I want to explore a little bit of believer's love in the few minutes we have left. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it sounds a bit hard, it sounds a bit callous, but there I find that love for a believer is a debt that we owe. Indeed, as our hearts have been moved by the enormity and the everlasting nature, an inseparable nature of God's love. Indeed, it's a debt so awesome. We don't really want to think about it, do we? But it's a debt that is easily settled. Romans 13, verse 8, love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is it a debt, my dear friend, or is it a duty? A duty of love, a love of words, deeds, and actions. Why is this so important that we should love one another? I think I find the answer somewhat in the situation of Saul of Tarsus. You remember him? On his donkey, he was breaking the speed record. He was hell-bent on going down to Jerusalem there, at Damascus there, to get hold of those Christians and to see them punished most severely for their Christian faith. And the love of God intervened, didn't it? As that shaft of life shot out from heaven and pinned into the ground. And the voice said, what? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute the Christians? No, it wasn't. It was, why do you persecute me? I think, dear friends, reverently speaking, if I had been Saul and been flippant like I am, I would have turned round and said, well, I'm not persecuting you, Lord, I'm persecuting the Christians. And the Lord would have turned round and said, well, they are me. I am them. For my love is in them, and they are mine. Your friends, believers' love touches the heart of God. And as we seek to look at each other, we should look for Christ in each other. And seeing those points of love in Jesus Christ would hold us from our criticism, from our rejection, for our bitterness, for our hate. For in love there are none of these things. But peace, long-suffering, patience, forbearing, and so forth. Believers, love is a divine birthmark, 1 John 4, verses 16, 17, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Sometimes when a little baby is born, we sometimes find those little birthmarks, don't we? And because they're external, they're very visible. Wonder, dear friends, how visible is the Christ child, son and daughter, and their love? Is it obvious? Is it unavoidable when we meet each other in the street, as well as when we meet each other in our homes, as well as when we meet each other here in chapel? The divine birthmark. What we will use indeed when we arise into heaven and before God, here is my reason, it is my love. And my love is Christ's love, for I have no love of mine. And Christ's love is thy love. And thou art mine and I am thine. Beautiful and wonderful beyond expression. Believer's love is an unanswerable testimony of allegiance. If you love me, keep my commandments. I was once severely knocked, not physically, by one of the guys in the Haven, who was particularly immoral in his thinking before he found Christ. And he laid this accusation against me. He says, you know, Mr. Lacey, he says, you've been out here, he says, you must be having a fine time with the women, eh? You could have knocked me flat. I remember saying to him, I said, you know, the love that I have for my wife is so strong, I couldn't violate it. If our love for each other is strong, we will not hurt each other, will we? If our love for God is so strong, there's no way indeed that we would transgress any of his commandments. But we would seek to walk daily, wouldn't we? Close, close to him. The closer we walk, the less likely we are to break his commandments. The deeper we walk, the less likely we are to unintentionally sin, let alone purposefully sin, surely. And back again to the Haven, and I hear one of those young men say, I'm going to try better. I usually say, don't bother. Don't bother. The very reason that you tried is the reason you're here, because you failed. But with Christ's love in your heart, you'll be able to succeed. Because it's by his will and not by our will. For we have no love. Not compared with his love, do we? Love is like a garment, Colossians 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond. Nowhere in Scripture do I find it says take it off when you go to bed either. Not even to wash it, not even to iron it, because it doesn't need it. The garment of love. the robes of righteousness, the garments of salvation, robe of love. Believer's love is an active faith. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. Love is living. Love is faith. We give love, not indeed to receive, but in faith of what it's going to produce. For us, I hope not, but we give it in Christ's name, don't we? We then should be those within whose grasp is God's love, that we can administer this. At home in England on Shrove Thursday, as it is called, the Queen leaves Buckingham Palace, and she's got an awfully nice little handbag, and in it are very many little purses. And in it is what they call the Mourn Day money. And she issues it to some very select folks who have been loyal to her over the years. Dear friends, are we choosy to whom we dispense God's love? I give. How dare we but to give liberally as we have received liberally and without charge, give of God's love. The privilege of such a being a channel of the sovereign love of Almighty God. Believer's love is proof of eternal love. 1 John 3 verse 14. For that we know we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother continueth in eternal death. That's a measuring rod if ever I saw one, eh? If we do not have love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we have a divine birthmark, that must be the divine birthmark of eternal death, must it not? By their fruits they shall be known. Believer's love is the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it heads the list there, doesn't it, in Galatians 5, verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Out of love comes joy. Sometimes, you know, we see some Christians who are supposed to be living in the love of Christ, but have no knowledge of the joy of Christ, nor their salvation. For they are only intent and happy on destroying love, as shown of God in other people's lives. Of criticizing and backbiting, they make their own lives a misery, and they seek to make the lives of others misery as well. Quickly moving to the end, believer's love is the queen of graces, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. For the greatest of these is love. Finally, brethren and sisters, Matthew 5, verse 41. Whosoever compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him 12. Why? It is again another exhibition, another demonstration of love that will go on and go on beyond the end. God's love is an everlasting love from past, and is an everlasting love to the future. And we who profess to be in Christ are in the love of Christ, and Christ's love is in us. And if it is in him, then it also must be seen to be in us. Likewise, let us go on in faith, in the love of faith, which is filled with peace, which will be first in our hearts, and as we live it, we will dispense it unto others, the great love of God, which is peace, and brings so much joy. Father God, we bow our hearts in your presence. Indeed, humbled we are, our God, as we contemplate the nature, the spiritual, holy, righteous nature of your love. Father, we confess that the world's abused this word so much by song, by the written word, and by the visual media, that we need to come back and remind ourselves again of the superb quality of such sacred love as we see manifested in thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ, here upon earth. There he goes, full of grace, full of truth, characteristics of love, righteousness, and peace. Father, we bless you for the rest which we enjoy in Christ and in his love. Father, for the warmth of his love, for the comfort of his love, we give you thanks. Father, for those who are outside of this love, give us a burden. Give us a vision, we pray. Those, our God, who are going on to a heedless eternity without your love, may be touched by the love as demonstrated in our life, that they may see it, that they may desire. Father, for those who are bound to us by the spiritual ties of love, we commit them to thee this evening. In this community, our Father, there are some who are nearing the end of life's journey, and we pray, our God, for a deeper demonstration and an experience for them of your love through their brethren and their sisters, their loved ones, their dear ones. They too who watch on, our Father, give them a powerful demonstration again of your love and your mercy in these, their loved ones, in pain and in suffering. Those, our Father, who are out of the way and beyond it, who cannot pray for themselves or nor would want to care to pray for themselves. Father, we pray for your everlasting love to touch them afresh this evening. May we be in suitable mind and frame, our Father, and a vessel cleansed of your precious blood to be able to speak with these and talk well of the love that reached us from Calvary's cross. Father, part us with your blessing, we pray. Never let us remember the depth and the wonder of the enormity of your everlasting love to us, as shown in Jesus Christ our Saviour.